turn to that book very often. But these prophets and their messages to the people of God and their messages to the kings that they served under, and then certainly their sensitivity to the Lord. We thank God that they stood and ministered. And even though we call them minor from the standpoint of their message is short, maybe only a few chapters, maybe just one chapter, but it's not minor in terms of importance. We thank God for the power that was shown and given. Amen. While you're turning there, we'll thank you again for your kindness to Sister Glover and I as we commemorated 47 years. Praise God. We're thankful for that. And very thankful for all of you. And thank you very much for your generosity and your kindness and your giving. Praise God. We're so thankful you're here today. Man, the Lord bless you. The last chapter and the last three verses of that chapter. I turn to this passage from time to time and just am in awe of how Habakkuk is declaring his consecration, declaring how he's going to focus on his salvation regardless of what happens. And he mentions something that it just seems like it would be so overwhelming in terms of loss, and it probably was. But he also nailed it down, made sure my salvation is what's important, and that's what I'm going to hold to. In verse 17, he uses the word although. Now, in the Hebrew, I don't know what that means. It's not in my Strong's concordance. But it must mean something like, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, whatever comes, whatever goes, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And what he just described is devastation, disaster in terms of the Hebrew economy or any nation back in those times. That's catastrophe. Yet, I don't know what that one means in Hebrew either. It's not in my Strong's concordance. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hen's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And some scholars think that Habakkuk was a temple musician. And that's why he's making as though this is a song. So, he's still singing. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I'll call this although and yet. I was going to call it consecration, but I think that although and yet is going to bring that point across very strongly. And we thank God that the Lord is there in our situations. Amen. And the power of the Lord to minister in an amazing way. So there's no grapes on the vines. There's no olives in the crop. There's no food in the field. There's no sheep in the pen. There's no cattle in the stalls. But I'm still going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Praise God. Now, we're not talking about pets and a garden. We're talking about the whole economy of the Hebrews. And though it may seem to be a total disaster. If I've got salvation, I've got everything that I need. Praise God. Amen. And that's the important thing. Now, there are individuals in the scripture who would have lived what Habakkuk is talking about here in the loss. And Job, of course, comes to mind here. And God's assessment of Job, it was so important, and how the Lord challenged Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? That's an amazing statement by God himself to say, look at Job. Look at how he's lived. Look at how he worships. Look at how he has faith. And, of course, Satan gave his challenge, you know, if you take things away, if you remove this, you remove that, and so on. Now, Job was blameless and upright. He served God. He feared the Lord in a reverence and awe that brought him to the place where he turned away from evil and he abstained from what was wrong and wanted to worship God. And even though he was wealthy, that wasn't where he put his trust. He put his trust in the Lord. He had an abundance of animals, a very great household, and the Bible even says he was the greatest of all men of the East. But this is going to be a riches to rags story. We like the rags to riches story. This is a riches to rags. But praise God, it doesn't end there. It goes back to riches because of the blessing of the Lord. Amen. His 10 children that he prayed for and sacrificed for because he wanted them to be sanctified. He wanted them to know the power of God. And then calamity. Calamity strikes. His oxen, 500 yoke. His donkeys, numbering 500, were stolen. I've got to think now, how extensive were those stables? How big were they? How many were they? And how many servants and stable hands did he have employed to take care of all of his stock? And then 7,000 sheep killed by fire, 3,000 camels stolen, as well as the oxen and the donkeys. He's suffering loss, one after the other. Just to catastrophic extents here. And then a great wind blew down the house of his eldest son. All of his children were gathered there with their oldest brother. And a strong wind, maybe a tornado force, would come and destroy the house, and all of them killed. Report after report comes to him in rapid succession. He doesn't even have time hardly to absorb the loss of one particular thing, and then here's another loss, and then another loss, and then another loss. And he is left devastated. And his acts of anguish are demonstrated in his life, where he tears his robe and shaves his head and he falls down. But he doesn't fall down to curse God or to ask why. I'm sure why was in his mind and in his heart. But the Bible says he worshiped. He worshiped the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't lose his faith in God. He lost a lot, but he didn't lose his place in God. And then sickness. Sickness came. Sometimes, you know, the loss of material things and so on can be absorbed. But man, when it touches you, that's really hard. That's really difficult. I don't know if it's could be called an urban tale, but certainly a legend of the Loch Ness Monster. Reported sightings in the late 1800s and into the early 1900s, even photographs. The Loch Ness Monster. Some of those, most of them, all of them, proven to be a hoax. But Brother Norm told me about a monster that was down in the, or reported anyway, down, he didn't see it, down in the a village at the end of the peninsula here, where there were sightings and encounters of something. To the point that the cannery was closed and the village relocated. That's how serious it was. These monsters that show up, and the Loch Ness monster definitely, you know, filling in like that. Well, we don't have those kinds of monsters, but there are other monsters that show up. Sickness in Job's life. Painful boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And the discomfort, the pain would bring in a hopelessness and a helplessness. Those are monsters that show up. The Loch Ness monster may be, you know, urban legend or rural legend, however you want to term it. But these are real monsters that come and stalk people today. A helplessness and a hopelessness, a loneliness that just overwhelms people, and feeling like, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anyone to turn to. I don't have any relief. I don't have any answers. What am I going to do? And all of these nesses can come and be a problem. The sickness, the loneliness, the helplessness, the hopelessness. But oh, I'm so thankful that God shows up with his goodness. God shows up with his kindness. God shows up with his righteousness, and he's not going to allow you to suffer beyond what you are able to endure, but he will, with the temptations, make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it because of his strength, because of his blessing, because of his power. Hallelujah. Thank God. The Lord helps us to rise above the emotional distresses and depression that would try to pull us down. But God, in joy unspeakable and full of glory, fills your heart and your being. God, with love that is unlimited. God, with peace that passes understanding, can keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Thank God for what the Lord is able to do with his power, with his goodness, with his strength. I don't want to be without his touch in my life. I don't want to be without his power in my life. I want the name of Jesus Christ to be upon me, his blood to cover me, his strength to be in my life. Oh, thank God he knows how to minister. Amen. Amen. And God ministered to Job. Job retained his integrity, where he was blameless. His uprightness is what contained him. Amen. And his three friends came. Thank God for friends. They sorrowed with him. They stared at him. They didn't say anything for 7 days. I don't know how much comfort that would be, but they were so overwhelmed by what they saw he was going through, they didn't have anything to say. Sometimes it's good just to be there. Amen. You don't have to say a whole lot. We don't know what to say at times, but just to be there. But thank God for Job's consecration. He could say, although these things happened, although I had these losses, yet will I trust the Lord and rely upon him. And this is what Job said in chapter 13 and 15. He declared, though he slay me, and I'm sure he was feeling like, what's happening, God? What's going on? Why am I going through this? Yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. In 19 and 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He goes on in 25 or 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Praise God. 23 and 20, he said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Praise God. He knew there would be a coming forth. He knew there would be a coming out. of those situations. He knew that he would be able to step away from those situations that were trying to pull him down and trying to destroy him. And he was going to move into the power and the presence of God like he had not known before. And thank God, the end result is what we know God is able to bring forth. The end result, hallelujah, is how the Lord provided for Job twice as much as he had before. Thank God. The Bible says he added unto Job all that he had double. Thank God for the Lord knowing how to bless the latter end more than the beginning. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we trust. That's the God that we're holding on to. Thank God for the Lord to be able to minister to faithful followers today, not following the Lord for the loaves and the fishes, so to speak, but looking for his blessing in everlasting life. The promise in Mark 10 and 30 is that God will bring 100-fold to you because you have dedicated your heart and your life to the Lord. And besides that 100-fold, there's also eternal life that the Lord has provided. Oh, thank God that we can put our trust in him. Although we suffer loss, although we go through situations in life, yet I'm going to hold on to the God of my salvation. Yet I'm going to believe him for his touch and for his blessing in our lives. Hallelujah. David is a man called after God's own heart. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, he is recognized as a man after God's own heart, consecrated, but yet not consistent, anointed king, but not yet crowned. He was moving through those situations into the place that God would have for him. Although he was a fugitive, yet he proved faithful. And then there came the time when Ziklag was burned, and all the families of David and his men were taken captive, their dwellings destroyed. It would seem like this is going to be the end. There's no way you're going to be able to come out of this. David, greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him. The men that were with him spoke of stoning him. It seemed as though it would be a point of giving up, as though David might step back and say, all right, I've failed you as a leader. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what way to turn. Maybe you should select another leader and go forth in that way. But no, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you've just got to do that. Sometimes you've just got to recognize, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will give his blessing. I know the Lord will come forth through his word. David, no doubt, had to rehearse again in his mind and perhaps even saying it. I know my God helped me to kill that bear. I know my God helped me to kill that lion. I know my God gave me the victory over Goliath the giant. And I know my God's not going to fail me now. I know my God's going to come forth with his power, with his blessing, with his goodness, and I know he's going to be there for me. Praise God. He prayed to the Lord. The Lord gave him direction as what to do. Follow after them. Recover your families. Recover all that has been lost. And he went forth into battle, and thank God, the end of the story is true. He recovered all because God knows how to bring forth his power and his goodness in our blessing and in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. And what he can do. We may look at our losses and our failures and our situations, but encourage yourself in the Lord. Grab a hold of his word. Hallelujah. Take the sword of the spirit and stick it right in the devil with all of his lies and all of his deceit. Thank God. Encourage yourself in the Lord and know the power of God to minister in your situations. We may lose stuff, but not salvation. Not salvation. Amen. The fig tree doesn't have a blossom. The grapes aren't on the vines. The olives aren't there for the oil. The fields are yielding no meat. There's no crops. Their flocks are cut off. There's no sheep. No herds in the stable. Their cattle is gone. We're not just talking about a garden and pets. We're talking about total devastation, but they held on to their salvation. I'm still going to trust in the Lord. I'm still going to call upon God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Salvation was the priority. Salvation was number one. Salvation was everything. Thank God for the shield of faith, whereby we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Job's hedge was gone, and the situations that came at him full blast were trying to knock him down. But thank God, you've got a shield of faith. You've got a shield of faith that's going to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. It doesn't matter what he throws against you. It doesn't matter what he comes up with. It doesn't matter what he tries to pierce your sword with, your shield with. Thank God, there's going to be that victory. There's going to be that power. There's going to be that strength. Do not step back from the battle. Do not shirk your responsibility. Do not hold back from moving into that realm of prayer. Let the power of God be demonstrated in you, and let that shield of faith come forth with power. Praise God. Oh, the Lord is my strength. Psalm 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Praise God. Notice that David is writing it, I'm not relying on myself, I'm relying on him. I'm relying on the one who is my light and my salvation. I'm relying on the one who gives me strength. 28 and 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Praise God. I remember the story. The old preacher, some of the preachers couldn't read. And they'd have a reader. Brother Mike, read for me. This Habakkuk 3 and 19. This is how they would do it. The Lord is my strength. Keep going.
You will make my feet like hind feet.
Like, and he pronounced it hind. And so the old preacher thought he said hen. And so he preached a whole message on chicken foot religion. That old chicken. He's sitting on the roost. Got two toes moving forward to grip the pole. One toe back so he doesn't slide back. He's stout. He's hanging on. Chicken foot religion will keep you. You don't have to move. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to fly away. The Lord will be the whole message. Chicken foot religion. Praise God. Well, a hind is a deer, and a deer is fleet-footed. A deer can move fast. A deer can, oh my. And the Lord is going to help you in that way as well. To be able, you know, like David said, like a hart panteth after the water brook, my heart pants after you, God. That's the way it's got to be today. That's the way we've got to step into prayer. Amen. That's the way it's got to, our hunger has got to be there. Amen. We've got a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of options. We've got a lot of things. But oh, our God needs to be number one and be able to step into that realm of the Lord ministering to us. Amen. The blessing that he wants to provide. He will make my feet like hind's feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. Praise God. I want to look at the will that's involved here now. This is what the Lord will do. And then we respond, I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You do your part, God's going to do his part. Hallelujah. The Lord will be there with his power. The Lord will be there with his presence. The Lord will be there with his touch and his goodness in your life. Amen. Thank God. To do, to will and to do what is well-pleasing in his sight. At Philippians 2 and 13 is a good verse to pray. Lord, help me to will and to do your good pleasure, what is acceptable in your sight. Amen. Here's how the Amplified renders it. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. That's a good amplification. Praise God. Thank the Lord that that kind of power can come forth in our lives where we're sold out for salvation. Amen. Praise God. He's the author, the Bible says, of eternal salvation. The author. You know, I'm reading a book, that reporter that was converted, The Case for, what in the world's his name? Lee Strobel. The Case for This, The Case for That. The Case for Creation, I'm reading that now. A lot of stuff there I don't even understand, but it's fun to read because it's knocking in the head all of these other presuppositions, you know, and really the whole aspect there of trying to create another aspect of how things came to be, and how life exists. You know, it amazes me how they zero in on life and slime and amoeba and so on, and now here we are, a complicated, amazing creation. You're hearing me because you've got little follicles in your ear that vibrate and send a message to your brain, and your brain comprehends what I'm saying. And next Sunday, Lord help us, we're going to be smelling nice things coming up from downstairs. We're going to keep our minds on God. We're going to be worshiping first and then eating last. But all those smells will be so good because you have receptors and all of that, and then your taste, you'll be able to taste all those goodies that the ladies will bring, and Brother David with fried bread, all of this good stuff that we're going to be able to enjoy. Oh, my God has done a tremendous work in creating you. Amen. He's the designer. He's the one who brought it about. Amen. And there may be questions that people have because they're trying to remove accountability to the Lord. They're trying to remove how that we have to be accountable to God. They don't want to be accountable to God. They don't want to have to live by a book that has been timeless and be able to provide the direction that God has in your life for the goodness that God can bring forth. They don't want that. They refuse it. They reject it. But thank God we're able to look to the Lord as our creator. We're able to call upon the one who designed it all and put it all together. Thank God there's no question about the design that he made as far as salvation is concerned. Thank God we can repent and ask the Lord to forgive us and to change our lives because of what the Word of God says. Forgive me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I don't live the way that is not pleasing to you, but let my life be pleasing in your sight. Let my heart be obedient to your word. Let me walk in the way that you have provided. And the Lord delights in that. In fact, the Bible says there's a celebration in heaven over everyone who repents. Praise God. The angels are rejoicing. The angels are celebrating because one person repents and asks the Lord to change them. And then the waters of baptism, praise God, like Crystal had a couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah. The waters of baptism remit every sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power of of the Lord to do that kind of work. We're not just getting wet. It's not just words. It's the power of God to bring forth redemption, to bring forth his healing, to bring forth remission of sins. Oh, thank God. He's the designer. He's the one who made it. He's the one who brought it to pass. And then the infilling of his wonderful Spirit, the Almighty God, filling you with the Holy Ghost, and you begin to speak in a language you don't know, but the supernatural power of God comes forth in a mighty way so that the devil can't lie to you, so that the devil can't make you doubt, so that the devil can't make you back up and say, that was just noise, that was just gibberish. Oh no, my God speaks, my God brings it forth, my God solidifies it. Oh, thank God for so great salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The author of eternal salvation. It's not just for a 5-minute segment of your life. It's not just for a time on a Sunday morning. Eternal salvation. The blessing of the Lord coming forth in great power and might. The author makes sure there's victory at the end. And thank God you can check it out. There's victory in the back of the book. Praise God. The Bible also says he's the captain of salvation. Amen. The captain of salvation. The captain on the ferry boat, give the orders. The captain on that ship, tell the able-bodied seamen what to do. The captain makes all of the orders. Now, in the military, I know there's higher ranks than captain. But I like to think about captain because on a ship, he's in charge. In the left seat in the airplane, he's in charge. He makes the decisions. He tells everybody else what's going on. He makes sure that the command is there. He wants to arrive safe and sound. That's the captain of our salvation. Praise God. He's going to make sure we arrive safe and sound, hallelujah, in the place that he has prepared for us. Oh, thank God, thank God. Salvation. That's got to have priority. That's got to be number one. That's got to be what I make sure of. Even though I'm not sure of anything else, I've got to make my calling and election sure in my walk with God. All right, Isaiah. Isaiah 12 and 2, the last verses that we'll look at here. The short chapter that Isaiah wrote contains the word salvation many times, as though to emphasize, this is what's important. This is what you got to get. This is what you got to grab a hold of. This is what's available. Receive it from the Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. Verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Praise God. When did that happen? Oh, when Jesus came. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why the scripture says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why the apostles baptized no other way but in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because he is become my salvation. Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise God. Not just one well. It's abundant. It's overflowing. It's an increase. Praise God. The wells of salvation. And with joy, you can draw water out of it. Amen. I know that there are those who view serving God as a burden, as though going to church is a duty, as though singing the songs of Zion is just, oh, we just got to go through this, huh? Another three songs, then we'll be out of here. No, with joy. Hallelujah. With joy. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we know the blessing of joy that the Lord has given. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's so powerful and so wonderful that you can't even say it in your own language, and the Lord gives you another language to give him praise in. Amen. You can't talk with your mouth closed. Go ahead and open your mouth and give the Lord praise and worship. Hallelujah. And let it come out as God would have it to. Hallelujah. Where the power of the Lord is going to be displayed. It's his power. It's his design. It's his creation. Praise God. Amen. And all of the crops and all of the flocks that Habakkuk mentioned here. Water, so essential. Water, so necessary. Not going to live without that water. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to give you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. That's why he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Hallelujah. Because there came the time that Jesus was glorified, and then the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Oh, thank God, it's still coming. It's still happening. Just as we heard from those reports around the world, God is still pouring out his Spirit. Amen. Although I may not have what I might think I need, yet I'm going to serve God. I'm going to call upon his name. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to trust him. Praise God. I don't want the well of salvation to get clogged. I don't want it to get full of debris and junk and all of the things that the devil would try to throw in there and contaminate it. I want that well to be flowing. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord to be there in might, in power, and in goodness. Amen. Please stand with me. God bless you so much. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for agreeing. Amen. Now it's time to receive. Time to receive. And oh, the Lord's got blessing for us today. The Lord's got goodness for us today. The Lord's got his touch for us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because salvation has got to be number one. Amen. I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to lose it. It's not going to fall by the wayside. I'm not going to neglect it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it new. I'm going to keep it fresh. I'm going to keep the power of God and the blessings that he has for us. Praise God. Close your eyes for just a moment, please, and be thinking about the promise that God has given. Be thinking about salvation being the sole priority for this hour. Think about what the Lord would give to you right now. And though there may be the losses, there may be the things we've had to change in this time, in this age, in this era, so many things going on, so many things changing, God has not changed. His plan is still the same. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to give you of his power. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to have faith to believe that. I want you to have trust to receive that. God's not going to embarrass you. God's not going to make a fool out of you. God's not going to make it seem strange and ridiculous. Oh, no, God is good. And he blesses with power in his spirit. Praise God. And now, would you come, please? Would you come and be ready to receive what the Lord has for you? And again, salvation is what you've got to make sure of. Salvation is what you've got to have. Salvation is what we want to receive today and to make sure in our lives. Go ahead and talk in tongues again. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just push it right back in the devil's face. Go ahead and just claim what the Lord has for you right now. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, let our faith...